Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUSCast, the Eighth Amendment and Alternative Execution Procedures edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On April 1st, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Bucklew v. Presseth, a case considering the standard applicable when an offender sentenced to death raises an Eighth Amendment challenge to the state's lethal injection procedure. Petitioner Russell Bucklew was convicted of murder and sentenced to death by lethal injection of a single drug, pentobarbital, by the state of Missouri. Bucklew challenged the state's injection protocol under the Eighth Amendment, alleging that regardless of whether it would cause excruciating pain for all prisoners, it would cause him severe pain because of a particular medical condition he had. The district court dismissed his challenge, the U.S. Court of Appeals Eighth Circuit applying Supreme Court precedent in Bays v. Rees and Glossop v. Goss, remanded the case to allow Bucklew to identify a feasible, readily implemented alternative procedure that would significantly reduce his alleged risk of pain. Bucklew eventually suggested nitrogen hypoxia, but the district court rejected his argument for lack of evidence. A divided Eighth Circuit panel affirmed, and the Supreme Court granted cert. By a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the Eighth Circuit. In an opinion delivered by Justice Gorsuch, the court held that Bays and Glossop govern all Eighth Amendment challenges alleging that a method of execution inflicts unconstitutionally cruel pain, and Bucklew's as-applied challenge fails the Bays-Glossop test. He failed to raise a tribal issue of fact regarding the viability of nitrogen hypoxia as an alternative method, and even if he had, there was no showing that it would significantly reduce a substantial risk of severe pain. Justice Gorsuch's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. Justice Thomas and Justice Kavanaugh filed concurring opinions. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion in which Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined as to all but Part 3. Justice Sotomayor also filed a dissenting opinion. And now, to discuss the case, we have Kent Scheidinger, Legal Director and General Counsel of the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation.
This case is unusual because Bucklew was not challenging Missouri's method in general, but only as applied to him. In the long run, the court's handling of his unusual claim will likely be less important than what it said about challenges to executions and the death penalty generally. Bucklew has an unusual medical condition causing growths in his mouth that obstruct his airway and might rupture and bleed profusely. He claims that he might suffer choking in the time between he loses conscious control of his airway and the time he becomes fully unconscious. This claim is factually weak because anesthesiologists do, in fact, anesthetize patients with this condition for surgery, and the massive dose of pentobarbital that Missouri uses induces deep unconsciousness quite quickly. However, on summary judgment against the inmate, all genuinely disputed facts are assumed in his favor. Before getting to the specifics, the majority made an important statement about capital punishment and the Constitution, stating unequivocally that the Constitution allows capital punishment, and apparently precluding an argument that this can never change. Justice Gorsuch's opinion for the court continues, quote, "Of course, that doesn't mean the American people must continue to use the death penalty. The same Constitution that permits states to authorize capital punishment also allows them to outlaw it. But it does mean that the judiciary bears no license to end a debate reserved for the people and their representatives," end quote. That is the strongest statement on this point that I have ever seen in a majority opinion. It's as strong as Justice Black's famous statement concurring in Magatha versus California way back in 1971. If the majority sticks to this principle, it will stop inventing new restrictions on capital punishment and may even reconsider some existing ones. The majority also notes that the Constitution does not guarantee a murderer a painless death, something relatively few of us are going to have. What the Eighth Amendment forbids is pain added on as an additional punishment, while all states today have moved to make executions as painless as they can. On the specifics, the court reaffirmed the holdings of two earlier cases, Bays v. Rees and Glossop v. Gross, that an inmate challenging a state's method of execution must identify an alternative method that would significantly reduce a substantial risk of severe pain. The court declined to make an exception for as-applied challenges like Buckley's versus the facial challenges in earlier cases because the line between those two kinds of challenges is not always clear and it would simply invite pleading games. Very late in the litigation, Buckley offered nitrogen hypoxia as his alternative. That is a method in which pure nitrogen is supplied instead of air and a person goes to sleep and eventually dies. Now, I have experienced hypoxia myself in Air Force flight training, and it is indeed painless. Hypoxia may eventually become the primary method of execution in the United States, but no state has implemented it yet. That fact alone is enough to knock it out as an alternative in method of execution litigation, the court said. The alternative must be one that the state could adopt relatively easily and relatively quickly, and a state need not be first with an untested method. Buckley also failed to show that his proposed method would be substantially better at avoiding the risk of pain that he claimed. The majority noted that the record did not support the claim and to some extent contradicted it. However, the court did settle that an inmate's proposed alternative need not be one authorized by state law. That means that a successful challenge could effectively abolish capital punishment in a state if an amendment to the state statute is required and the opponents of capital punishment have enough political strength to block the amendment. That is similar to the reason why New York, for example, has not had capital punishment for most of the time since the 70s, even though the death penalty has been authorized in theory the whole time. Court decisions have required amendments, and opponents have always been able to block the bills in one house of the legislature or the other, or by the governor. In the final part of the opinion, the court returns to the point that whether we have capital punishment is for the people, not the courts to decide. The courts, therefore, have a duty to resolve these kinds of changes expeditiously, something that was definitely not done in this case. The two junior justices had prominent roles in the decision. Justice Gorsuch wrote the opinion for a bare 5-4 majority. Justice Kavanaugh was in the majority, but he wrote a short concurrence emphasizing the point that the alternative need not be authorized by state law. Justice Kennedy had drifted in his later years and frequently joined with the liberal justices to invent new constitutional restrictions on punishment. He almost certainly would not have joined the Buckley opinion in full. His replacement by Justice Kavanaugh appears to be a shift in the prosecution's direction, and potentially an important one. But Justice Kavanaugh may be the swing vote on these issues in years to come. Yeah, I think potentially the most important thing about this opinion is the very strong language about these issues being for the people to decide and not for the courts. The Supreme Court has been micromanaging these issues since 1972. I think maybe the justices are tired of the micromanagement, and perhaps they may be receptive to arguments to turn some of these decisions back to the people. Justice Breyer's main point, I think, is essentially wanting to relitigate the Glossop case and the challenges, the alternative method requirement. He's not convincing anybody who was in the majority in Glossop, nor does he convince the new justices. But he challenges that alternative showing requirement, and without an alternative showing requirement, then a method of execution challenge would effectively enable a person to shut down capital punishment altogether. And that's where Glossop got it. They said, basically, if the Constitution permits capital punishment, then it must be possible to implement it. And so a challenge that makes it impossible to implement can't stand. He also, in a third part of his opinion that isn't joined by anybody else, repeats his refrain, well, maybe we can't implement it at all constitutionally, and we just have to get rid of it. Of course, that's been going back and forth in individual justice opinions for many years now. The response is that if the constitutional requirement that we have invented prevents something that the Constitution clearly permits, then maybe the requirement that we invented isn't really in the Constitution.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.